This is Dr. Max D. Younts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join again with us the same time each week as we continue our Bible study now. And it's becoming very interesting with the mail that we receive. And thank the Lord that there are some people that are getting their eyes opened and are telling us they have never heard such things like that in this refutation of Martin Luther, that he had been built up as practically a saint of God and a wonderful Bible scholar and everything else, then had some say, we're checking our catechism, and we're going to see if what you're telling us is true. Well, that's the reason for the messages, and we sure hope that you do. It'll be quite a shock to you. Well, we want to continue on now on this, because it's very, very interesting here. In fact, one of the things I want to, last week we're on the small catechism, the things that Martin Luther said concerning infant baptism, but I want to go over to his large catechism now on page 87. And this here is almost infidelity to the nth degree of what Martin Luther believed and what he put in his large catechism. And I hope none of you believe it, because if you do, you'll go right straight to hell. But let me read you on page 87 here. And we find out here in paragraph 2, here's some of the things that Luther said. And, well, wait a minute, if you have your catechism there, we hope that you will turn to it. Okay. Now, let's go here, and we find out in paragraph 2, he says, further, we are not primarily concerned whether the baptized person believes or not. For in the latter case, baptism does not become invalid. Now, I don't know if you grasp that, but I want to read it again. Luther says, it doesn't matter if you have faith or not, just as long as you were baptized, even though you don't believe and you don't have faith, your baptism will still take you to heaven. That's what he's saying. Let me read it to you again. Further, we are not primarily concerned whether the baptized person believes or not. That's unbelievable. For in the latter case, if they don't believe, baptism does not become invalid. Excuse me. In other words, if my preacher following me has baptized you, even if you don't believe, well, your baptism will still take you to heaven. That is blasphemy out of hell. I cannot believe that. Let me read on down a few more lines. Baptism is valid even though faith be lacking. I thought, Mr. Luther, evidently you've never heard of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are we saved, sir, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe, Mr. Luther, my Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God. And you're telling your readers here in your large catechism that baptism is valid even though faith be lacking, even though there's no faith? That's unbelievable. Let me go on and read you another line he states. Baptism does not become invalid even if it is wrongly received or used, for it is bound not to our faith but to the Word. But Mr. Luther, faith is in the Word. So you're saying just because the Word tells us we are to be baptized, that's only after we've been made disciples, Mr. Luther, and you twist this around and trying to tell us that it's bound to the Word just because your preachers have baptized somebody, that gives them eternal life, even if they don't have faith? Let me read this to you again. This is blasphemy. This is unbelievable. Baptism does not become invalid, even if it is wrongly received or used, for it is bound not to our faith, but to the Word. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, but it's faith in Jesus Christ that saves us, and this is just a bunch of jargon and double talk and satanic talk, sir, that you're trying to tell people that even if they don't have faith, the baptism, and you baptize them, that's going to take them to heaven. What a joke. Now let me read you another line. Even though a Jew, and he uses this illustration, even though a Jew should today come deceitfully and with an evil purpose, and we baptized him in all good faith, that's in our faith, we should have to admit that his baptism was valid. Well, baptism, as you said, Mr. Luther, takes you to heaven, you see. But even if this guy was a deceitful and he was evil, but we baptized him in good faith, we're going to have to admit that his baptism was valid, and it didn't matter whether he was an unbeliever or not. Let the conclusion, therefore, be that baptism always remains valid and retains its integrity if only one person were baptized and he, moreover, did not have true faith. Then he's still saved, huh? Mr. Luther, it's amazing to me how anyone, as blatantly as you are telling you that faith and belief doesn't count, sir, and you're telling people that they're going to heaven because your ministers have baptized them and put a little water over them, which you don't even baptize scripturally, and say, you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and this is going to take them to heaven? I don't see anything about Jesus Christ in here, sir. I just don't see it. Now, I want to go on here because we're going to find out here that they always use this, and they say, in fact, I was up around the Moose Lake area. I was up there bear hunting here a few years back, and I happened to be driving through a small town up there, and I happened to see the sign said Methodist Church. And anyway, I seen somebody out there on the mower and mowing the yard, so I pulled over and stopped, and it happened to be the pastor. And I said, well, could I stop back when you get done? And I would like to talk to you a little bit. I've got some questions I'd like to ask you. And he said, well, I'm ready for a break. Come on in now. We'll go on in. So he said, well, what's your questions? I said, well, do you baptize babies? And he said, well, yes, we do. And I said, why do you do that? Well, there are households that were baptized, and they had babies in them. And he referred me to a certain scripture. And I said, well, sir, there's no babies in that household. Everyone in the household believed. And he didn't know that. He was shocked. And I said, well, let's turn in your Bible. I didn't have my Bible there, but he had one. And I said, let's go to our Bible over here and look. And we did. And he was shocked. And I said, well, now, why do you? Because I can't find anywhere in the Bible, I was talking to him, that babies are ever to be baptized or that they ever were baptized by the apostles or by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've never seen James baptize anybody. Peter never baptized anybody. And Paul baptized some, never baptized a baby. And there. And his answer was to me, well, people like to have their babies baptized. And his countenance was then beginning to fall. And I said, well, I think it's a little bit better. I think Galatians tells us that who do I seek to please, men or God? If I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ in Galatians chapter 1. And he didn't want to talk anymore there and so forth. It's too bad. We don't have preachers, and we do have some. I sure don't want to exclude all by any means. But when you have a preacher who preaches the Bible, really most of the world's going to hate him. Because this is going to contradict the brainwashing that your liberal preachers, your modernistic preachers, and your cult religionists and so forth have brainwashed the people into an entertainment center. And if it's not an entertainment center, then it is nothing more than a social club. And you have a little bit of Bible thrown out, enough just to put up a smokescreen as to what the real motive is, you see. But let's continue on now and see here. We find that this pseudo-doctrine of infant baptism is built upon tradition and theory as a result of man's imaginations. And Colossians 2:18 says, vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind. They made it up. Christ rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees for placing their traditions over the Word of God. Notice in Mark chapter 7 and verse 6, 7, and 9, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. That's what you have in many churches today. We find out, as one Bible scholar has put it, concerning those who teach, and practice infant baptism, said it seems to me that they read their teachings into the Scripture instead of getting their doctrine out of the Scripture. When religion introduces tradition, any Scripture is sought which would seem to justify its use. Martin Luther was a master at this. So let us examine, and we're going to do that, the era of this, and then explore the truth. Now, we look here and we find out that the reasoning of many is that if a whole household is baptized, it must include babies also. So let's examine some of the errors that are projected, and we're going to cite some of the passages which are used to promote this. Now, we'll go first to Lydia's household, and we find that in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. So let's go here. In Acts chapter 16, verse 15, and when she, that was Lydia, was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, her household. So this boy, they jump on this, you know. Oh, there's got to be babies in the household. I've been in a lot of households and no babies. And but this, again, is the imagination puffed up in their fleshly mind, trying to do something to justify their cult leader, who has said babies got to be baptized. On the part of those who endorse infant baptism, it's a presupposed that her household included a baby, or babies. Yet, God's Word contains no such account. Didn't say anything about that. There's no record of Lydia even being married, being a mother, or having children in her home. There's not even a record of that. So why would someone who wants to justify their false teaching that there were babies there conjecture such a lie? Now, we're told that after Paul and Silas left Lydia's house, they were beaten.